fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Basketball's world governing body, FIBA, has lifted the suspension of all FIBA competitions that have been in place since March 13th, 2020. FIBA says it will continue to monitor the COVID-19 situation daily. Among those welcoming the FIBA decision is Ogo Odaudu, the head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club based in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Odaudu said Rivers Hoopers was getting ready for its first season in the Basketball Africa League when the pandemic hit.
Rivers Hoopers team was in the thick of preparation for the inaugural VAL before the issue of COVID-19 arose, and then we had to break camp because, all sporting activities were banned and gathering of up to a certain number of people were banned. And for our own safety and protection, we had to send everybody home until we received news otherwise. But that does not stop us from preparing for the inaugural edition because, of course, we have possible feedback from BAR that it's actually going to happen. There are a couple of scenarios that are being discussed right now, but they want this first edition to hold. So all that it meant to us is that the players have been working out on their own. We have sent them instructions on what to do, and they in turn do whatever it is that they need to do and send us video evidence to our WhatsApp platform. That way we know that they are keeping in shape and we're not going to start from scratch whenever it is that we decide to resume. On the positive side, we just received news today that FIBA has removed all suspensions that they put on the competitions of 2021, meaning that very, very soon we're going to have some sort of information as regarding when we're going to play BAL.
Any update on the Basketball Africa League, and what's the mood of your players?
The players are well. They had looked forward, they had practiced hard and looked forward to the tip-off before it was cancelled. So, well, they were very, very disappointed. Everybody is eager to go and showcase their abilities, but it doesn't deter them from preparation. And we all know that it's eventually going to happen. And since it's going to happen, well, the opportunity is still there. So even though they were disappointed then, I'm sure now with this information that FIBA has rolled out today, they are going to get a little bit more hyped up and start putting on serious work.
Do you think the league will be an avenue to raise future NBA stars?
The BAL is going to be an avenue to raise future NBA players. We have a lot of Africans in the NBA today, and that is because of the tremendous amount of talent that abounds on the continent of Africa. And of course, organization has been a major factor to actually show who these talents are and how they can play. Well, now BAL now produces a stage for them to showcase what they can actually do and how well they can play. So, of course, the BAL is going to produce future NBA players. Coupled with the fact that, yes, the NBA is a major sponsor of the BAL, so it makes it easier. We are all eager to start preparation. I am very confident. We just received news on our website now, on our WhatsApp group, and also on the Rivers Hoopers Facebook page that preparations are going to start very soon. So we are all eager and excited to go back to work. Of course, safety is our number one priority, so we're going to make sure we have everything in place first, safety-wise, before we do any other thing. We're not just going to jump into it head first because we want to play basketball. Of course, if you're not 100% fit, you cannot play basketball. So hopefully, we shall go and showcase ourselves on the continent of Africa once again.
That's Ogo Odaudu, the head coach of Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. This is Ogo Odaudu, head coach, Rivers Hoopers basketball team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO, and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Jim Stevenson's game room is always sporty and often international in nature. Jim's latest game room included sports news from Austria, Argentina, Italy, Spain, South Korea, and Japan. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. J-League and Nippon Professional Baseball have decided to allow fans in the stadiums beginning this week, only days after both of the leagues resumed following a lengthy break due to the coronavirus pandemic. Atsushi Saito is Nippon Professional Baseball Organization Commissioner. NPB and J-League were able to open and restart the season. And finally, from this weekend, 10th of July, we're planning to hold games with fans in stadiums. Although we're going to limit them to 5,000 people, I'm looking forward to it. Japan Professional Football League Chairman Mitsuru Murai says the plan may change depending on what happens. We decided on both the dates, July 10th, and then the 1st of August, to allow 50% of the venue's capacity based on the government's guideline. We will keep a close eye on this guideline to see if it changes significantly. If there are no major changes, we'll proceed with the original plan. Coronavirus infections are on the rise in Japan, but Mitsuo Kaku, professor of infection control and prevention at Tohoku Medical and Pharmaceutical University, says allowing spectators in stadiums can happen with minimal risk. Of course, we have to keep an eye on the infection situation, but I think it is necessary to try like this, as we are in the situation where we need to continue to run social and economic activities while managing risks. It's up to the fans to take proper precautions, says Hiroshige Mikamu, professor of Department of Clinical Infectious Diseases at Aichi Medical University Graduate School of Medicine. The teams, staff, and players have worked really hard to protect the sporting culture. Now, it's the audience's turn to make that effort. In order to do that, we would like to ask them to install an app which helps to find close contacts of COVID-19 and not to come to the stadium when you feel sick. So far, both Japan's J-League and Nippon Professional Baseball have held games without fans in their stadiums. Top South Korean officials on Monday offered a public apology and vowed to delve into the death of a triathlete who had reported to government and sports bodies that she had been abused by her team coach, physical therapist, and colleagues. South Korean Culture, Sports, and Tourism Minister Park Young-woo. As a minister of the related department, I feel deep sorrow and heavy responsibility regarding the death of the deceased athlete Choi Sok-hyun. The ministry will thoroughly investigate and sternly punish those responsible, as well as making our best efforts to prevent such a case from happening again. 22-year-old Choi Sok-hyun was found dead late last month after sending a mobile chat message asking her mother to disclose the alleged crimes of people who abused her. Public outrage later erupted after media revelations that authorities did not quickly act, even though Choi had registered petitions over the alleged abuses with several government and sports bodies. I am determined to have this incident as an opportunity to wipe out all the corrupt practices in athletics. Again, I will make my best efforts to thoroughly investigate this incident and to come up with measures preventing reoccurrence of such incidents. Last week, the governing body for World Triathlon expressed its shock over Choi's death and asked South Korea's local triathlon federation and Olympic Committee to share information about her case. The abuse of treatment of athletes has been a deep-rooted problem in South Korea, which considers achievements in Olympics and other international sports events as a national pride. Valtteri Bottas won a chaotic season-opening Austrian Grand Prix Sunday, while Formula One champion and fellow Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton finished fourth after getting a late time penalty. Bottas said he had to work hard for the win.
There was quite a few obstacles along the way and not really a straightforward race at all. But in that situation, you just really try to keep it cool, try to maximize the situation, and they take things as they are. For me, best way to start the season as a team. I think we're leading. Of course, we could have put more points as a team, but it's what it is.
The race was interrupted three times by a safety car and 9 of 20 drivers abandoned. Hamilton was given a 5-second time penalty for causing a collision, dropping him from second to fourth, having earlier been hit with a 3-place grid penalty after an incident in Saturday's qualifying run.
I don't really feel particularly anyway right now. I think just the race is done, and I'll take whatever penalty they feel I deserve and move forward.
McLaren's Lando Norris placed third, reaching the podium for the first time, but without fans to see him.
I'm just super happy, super stoked to be on the podium in the first place. Yes, it would be nice to share it with the fans and to be able to hug a few more people, but I'm just so happy. I think we weren't expecting anything like this today.
Charles Leclerc did not expect to place second in his Ferrari.
I did not expect to finish P2 today, so yes, we made the best out of it. At the end, that's what I told me. We need to take every opportunity, and anytime I had an opportunity on track, I took it in an aggressive way, but that's the way I had to drive today.
Formula 2 also had its day on the track in Austria, where Brazilian Felipe Drugovic led throughout and claimed victory in only his second F2 race.
Yesterday we didn't have the result that we wanted, but now I'm so proud of the team. We fixed pretty much the car, so I'm really happy for it.
Having placed 8th in Saturday's feature race, Drugovic started from pole position on the reverse grid and held on to first place throughout the first set of corners. The race would see 3 caution flags, but Drugovic held firm at each restart. His maiden win quickly moves him into third place in the drivers' championship standings. Double world champion Fernando Alonso is set to return to Formula One with Renault in 2021. The 38-year-old Spaniard has been out of the sport since appearing to have ended his career with McLaren in 2018. Alonso won successive championships with Renault in 2005 and 2006. Meanwhile, Italian auto racing champion turned Paralympic gold medalist Alex Zanardi is making yet another comeback. Dr. Paolo Gennaro, maxillofacial surgeon at Siena Hospital, explains the 5-hour surgery Monday to reconstruct Zanardi's face following a crash on his hand bike last month.
Un complesso intervento di ricostruzione craniofacciale. Le fratture riportate in seguito al trauma erano.
It was a complex surgery of head and facial reconstruction. The fractures caused by the accident were extremely complex, and this required an accurate 3-dimensional digital computerized technology of facial reconstruction that was custom made, that was made to measure for the patient. Although this is a type of fracture that we deal with routinely, the complexity of the case was fairly unique.
Rutinaria, anche se la complessità di questo caso è stata abbastanza singolare.
It was the 3rd major operation that Zanardi has had since he crashed into an oncoming truck near the Tuscan town of Pienza on June 19th during a relay event. Zanardi won 4 gold medals and 2 silvers at the 2012 and 2016 Paralympics. He also competed in the New York City Marathon and set an Ironman record in his class. You may be familiar with the table game foosball. Now, with social distancing a vital part of life, Argentine football-thirsty players are having their comeback to the fields after more than 100 days of suspension under a social distancing format, which city locals call the human table football. Gustavo Cuifo owns Play Football 5, 5-a-side pitches. We started thinking and trying to figure out what to do on our clubs, so we came up with this idea
of adapting the pitch, dividing it into rectangles, where each player uses a space of 45 or 90 square meters, depending on his placing. It had to accommodate 10 people, so we created what we are calling the human table football. We are happy because we resolved such a complicated moment for our country because of this pandemic. Leonard Vanni plays on the amateur team Vende Humo FC. It's a lot of great joy to be back on the pitch, which makes us feel fine with all the friends gathered. It has its limitations. It's weird, but we're adapting while we're waiting to go back to normal as soon as possible. His teammate and goalkeeper Martin Rodriguez is also happy. If it was for me, I would play football from Monday to Monday. I love playing football. Now I feel free and joyful to gather with the lads and be able to play football again. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on VOAnews.com.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of our Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African football news, and Samson says he'll be kicking off with a top Egyptian club.
Five-time CAF Champions League winner Zamalek of Egypt resumed their training on Thursday after 4 months of recess, during which time football activities were suspended in Egypt. French coach Patrice Carteron decided to divide the players into two groups to maintain social distancing between the players in accordance with the instructions of the Sports and Youth Ministry. Egypt had suspended sports activities since mid-March due to the coronavirus outbreak, but the government has decided to allow sports to resume starting on the 20th of June. Elsewhere in South Africa, that country's premier soccer league has reportedly proposed July 19th as the return date for competitive football in South Africa. However, the proposed July 19th date is subject to approval from both the South African Football Association and the country's government. Several Premier Soccer League teams returned to training ground late last week, while others only allow their players to train together this week. Defending Premier Soccer League champions Mamelodi Sundowns is one of such clubs. Head coach Pitso Masumane says it is good to be back, although things are a lot different.
We just met here. It's a bit strange. It's a strange feeling where we met. You know, when we meet, we always meet at a certain time and we are always together, you know, hugging each other, greeting each other, because it's 3 months we haven't seen each other. But the funny part of it is that how do we meet? We meet on the WhatsApp group, as the rules been put by the doctors, no hanging around, no loitering, you know. So yeah, it's a strange feeling, but it is the way the situation is. We have to respect COVID-19.
In Ghana, female football got a boost after the Ghana Football Association and the Youth Employment Authority under the Ghana's Ministry of Youth and Sports signed a deal for women's football that will see women's Premier League players paid monthly allowances for a period of 6 months. Under the initiative, as many as 480 female footballers in the Women's Premier League will receive a monthly allowance, plus 20 other people serving in the sector. The Ghana Football Association president, Kurt Okraku, revealed that a deal worth over $258,000 will go down as the most impactful initiatives women's football in Ghana has witnessed ever since its establishment.
This is a game changer. I'm saying this is a game changer, especially for football and especially for women's football. We have 16 women Premier League clubs in Ghana who play for free.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitchell-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. With no fans in attendance because of coronavirus concerns, Major League Soccer resumed play this week in Orlando, Florida. VOA's Gwen Uten has details about the opening matches and how players are standing up by kneeling down in support for social justice. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Wednesday, Major League Soccer staged its first match in 4 months. But before Orlando City and Inter Miami kicked off the tournament, players on both sides held a demonstration in solidarity with the social justice movement, Black Lives Matter. The starters from each team formed a circle at midfield and were surrounded by several players from the organization Black Players for Change. Athletes took a knee in silence and raised their gloved fists one by one. Some wore t-shirts over their jerseys with the words Black and Proud and Silence is Violence. And the hashtag MLS is Black was prominently displayed in the background. The ceremony lasted 8 minutes 46 seconds, the same length of time a police officer knelt on the neck of George Floyd in the U.S. state of Minnesota and sparked protests around the world. Orlando City went on to win their opening match 2-1. The following day, players for Montreal Impact and New England Revolution also took a knee before kickoff. Impact coach Terry Henry, who donned a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, stayed kneeling for the first 8 minutes and 46 seconds of the match. In his post-game news conference, Henry said it was important for him to honor the memory of George Floyd and show support for social justice.
Well, I sat down for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I guess you guys know why. So that was just to pay tribute and show support to the cause. That was basically it and pretty simple.
Henry is a former star player for France and considered a legend in football. During his 20-year career, he was the lead goal scorer for the France national football team, a World Cup and European champion, and the recipient of almost every major trophy and honor in the sport. He retired from international soccer in 2010 as one of France's most accomplished strikers. When Henry became head coach of Montreal Impact last year, he promised his style of play would be in your face. However, his plan of attack was not enough on Thursday. Impact lost their match against New England 1-0. And Henry said he does not blame the four-month layoff for the loss.
We don't know where we were going to be physically, but that's not an excuse. Like I said to you, there's one thing that always I've been talking to the team and talk about before this game is we do fight. And you saw that before at the beginning of the season. And then at the beginning of this season, again, that didn't happen. Like I said, this is not an attack against anyone, but that didn't happen tonight. And so we need to rectify that against Toronto.
That match against Toronto is set for July 15th. Meanwhile, on Thursday, Philadelphia Union won their opening match 1-0 against NYCFC. And the action continues on Friday with an evening match between Seattle Sounders and San Jose. And that is all from me for today and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hey,
And that wraps up the July 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this
music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat.
African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.